Orange Nation with Linnea Shuzzo and Antonia Lucas.
Focus Nation, this is our very first podcast with Linnea Shuzzo and myself. I am so excited, and our very first guest is going to be Jess. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Love Vocal Nation, which is the podcast that will take you behind the scenes of the most iconic singers, songwriters, and music producers. I am Linnea Shuzzo, and together with my co-host Antonia Lucas, we have over 30 years of experience as vocalists, songwriters, and music production.
And for the last 10 years, Linnea and I have been tirelessly working to support and protect vocalists and songwriters, especially in the EDM sector. So we're just so totally excited to bring you this podcast, hosting many of our fellow artists and producers to hear and share their experiences. So please tune in and join us.
Yeah, and today we bring our very first guest to the podcast. This woman is famous for her angelic voice, smart lyrics, three-time Grammy nominated. She has worked with some of the biggest names in the electronic music scene, the voice behind the legendary As the Rush Comes, Imagination, and many, many more hits. Please give a warm welcome to Jess Brydon.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Jess. How are you doing today?
I am so good. So happy to be here with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show with us. It's so weird. Like, we are all connected from three parts of the world today. So Antonia is in Detroit, I'm in Dublin, and you're in New York, right? Is that correct?
Yes. Yep.
That's right. Yeah. And last time we actually met was in Dublin at my record label party. And it was before the pandemic, and which was a huge success and really, really fun to have you there. But you might not remember this. My first real memory with you, like face to face, when I started out as a singer and songwriter myself. I had my first gig in Malta, and I heard that you and Ronski Speed were playing the venue next door. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So after my gig, I actually went over to your venue to see you perform and had like a little chat with you for a few seconds. I was really, really shy. But already then, you were like a huge inspiration to me as a singer-songwriter. And you have inspired so many more with your incredible work over the years. So yeah, it's just a pleasure.
That is such a cool story. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been an amazing journey and still going.
Still going, yeah.
Yeah.
So Jess, as we've just said, you've had this, you know, incredible journey. So tell us a wee bit about your story.
Well, I guess I really always wanted to sing. I was singing from very early on and like making up songs as early as like 5, 6, you know. And so I never had that problem of I didn't know what I wanted to do. I always really knew what I wanted to do. I didn't know what that entailed, which I think was pretty good because I really kind of went into it sort of just with a lot of hope and a lot of passion and just, you know, went full force, never really looked to the sides. I got into many different things that involved music, you know, worked in studios, did things, you know, just to be around music all the time.
I love that. I'm the same, pretty much.
I mean, there's so many things that we have to know now. You have to know, you do everything. You have to do everything.
Right.
So I think that helped, you know, doing that along the way. And it's changed so much too over the years. But, you know, I feel lucky that I was, you know, naive enough to just sort of not have fear about it or ever look back or think too much about it, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that helped, you know?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it's just been one thing after another that sort of and it's still one thing after another. So I think that's, you know, how it started. And it's taken many twists and turns along the way.
Yeah.
And I've learned a lot along the way, you know.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So I was just yesterday and today listening through your album Memento. Mm. And the first thing that struck me, apart from the fantastic first song, was that there's 28 tracks on that album. I mean, that's just a phenomenal achievement in itself. And we also noticed, because we were doing a bit of research, with that the first track was actually your favorite track.
There's a couple of favorite, but All or Nothing or...
All or Nothing, yes.
Yeah. That's one of, I have three, so that's one of my favorite tracks, yeah.
What are your three?
My three is All or Nothing, Forever Young, and Is It True? Those are my,
really
I mean, I feel like, yeah, they feel like really, you know what it's like, Lenny, when you're like writing so many different songs, and Antonia, it's like, you get on this kind of train of writing, but there's like ones that just like, I come out,
right?
You gotta pull them out, you know? And I think like also my personality, they like very much feel like part of me. So those songs, and I, one of them, Is It True? I carried around for an awful long time, you know, working on it, and All or Nothing too. I think it had a couple of different sections, which I just had to, I wasn't good enough, had to just kind of chisel it and carve it out until I was like, you know what, I like it, you know. And that's hard sometimes, but it really sort of just, you know, went that way with that one. And I just love how it turned out. And it's so hard because a lot of times when I'm done with a song, I'm over it.
You know, really?
I'm totally the same. I'm like, oh, I have enough now.
I know. I, you know, it's like, because you've heard it so much, mixing it. Oh, it's just like, I can't listen to it anymore. But and it's funny, you know, I was somewhere and they're like, they want to put on my record. I'm like, no, please don't put on my
record. That's hilarious. Yeah.
I mean, I love it. And you know, there's 28 tracks on it, but there could have been 150.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
That's incredible. I
think there was more than that on it.
You know, wow.
And it was hard to even get it to that, but.
So you know, are we looking at like another album coming soon or what?
There could be. There could be.
Nice. That's
so
great.
I noticed that. So it said, yes. I figured you write all the songs. Do you write all the top lines, all the lyrics, or do you sometimes co-write that with other people?
Yeah, no, I usually write the song. And then I usually work with one other person a lot.
Right.
Richard Robson, that works with me, which you know too, Linnea.
Yeah.
And because he works on a lot of the music with me as well. And but usually I'm writing it all, you know, I'm starting it, I'm finding the melodies and the verses. And then, you know, if I get to a place, we kind of look at it and we kind of map it out a little bit more, bring it up to the next level. I can't do it. I need help to push me over the hump. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I mean, I love, you know, collaborating really. It's more fun. Sometimes, you know, it's a song is like just yours and you're like in the moment and it just kind of comes completely out. I have a lot of those kind of songs too. If I'm writing on the guitar, if I'm just by myself playing around and, you know, I don't have any, I'm also not as critical, maybe not as critical. It's more like just letting myself accept what comes out, right. You know? And I mean, when you're writing for other people too, you know, if you're writing for another person's album or something, you know, you're not only writing for yourself. So you want it to be, keep going until you can get it to its best part. I have a hard time just accepting it as, you know,
Do you?
Yeah. I want to carve it out, or if it doesn't make sense to me, I love poetry and I love poet, you know, like poems that are songs, but like sometimes I want to make sure I understand what I'm saying, you know, a little bit. And also when I'm singing it, I want to commit to it, you know?
Yeah. I'm pretty much the same also when like I write song, if the lyrics, like if you write a lyric, sometimes you just like mumble things and it doesn't make sense, right? And you're like, well, what am I writing? Yeah, it feels good, but what am I writing about? Yeah, completely correct. Yeah.
I also noticed that, you know, you had chosen various, I mean, Kieran McCauley popped up, and we love Kieran.
We love him.
Yeah. So I'm wondering how you chose those remixes.
Well, Kieran had actually done a mix that I love so much, and it wasn't, I don't think it was released as a single, but he did such a great job, and I just wanted it to be on the record. He's such a sweetheart, and been wanting to do something with him. Yeah. I love his work, and he just released an album as well, and it's awesome. And so I sort of wanted to celebrate that mix and him and putting on this album.
Yeah,
so
that's
good.
Very cool.
Love it.
Because there's good people, you know, there's a lot of people that you work with, and I love, you know, most people I work with are good people, but you know, every once in a while you find some that are harder.
Yeah.
So do you do any of the production, Jess?
Yeah, no, I do. When I start working, I usually work with Ableton and Pro Tools, and I start them just very simply. Like a lot of times people want to give me these tracks, you know, if I'm writing to a track. A lot of times most of my songs are actually just written on guitar and piano, and then they're produced, you know. But I do a lot of, I love to create tracks. My thing is I am not a finish. I can't finish them. I can bring them up to a certain level. I get the mood. I get the vibe. I get the song down. But then I don't have the patience. I want to go and write another song.
Really?
I wish I could. It's really because it's very, you know, you have to sit there for a really long time and just, you know, massage it out, the track, you know, the tracks. But I do like, I have worked at mixing and I do love it when you have a beautiful board like the one you have in back of you and you can really see it and feel it and put everything on its separate track and get it. I love to get it
just
balanced,
tweak it up.
In my own place. But a lot of times I'm working like very simply on computer, and I don't have all that if I'm traveling. I even have this one little mixer with one knob that you can put to every track. So I have finished tracks, but they're definitely more arty.
Very cool.
That's cool.
Very cool. So when we were also doing our research, we noticed that you used to do backing vocals.
Yeah, I saw that. I have done backing vocals. When I started, and I think I had tried to do a lot of different things in the industry, I was looking for anything to do. And I had gotten hired many times to sing the track for songwriters that were pitching their tracks to bigger artists.
Right.
And, you know, they wanted someone that just had a vibe that could give it like, not a demo vocal, but like something that someone would copy.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not the best at backing vocals. I do all my own, but I do hear a lot of parts and a lot of harmonies that are like very natural to me. So, you know, I would go in and I would just take some of these songs that weren't even that good and sort of try to make them as good. Like what we were saying about singing a lyric with commitment and singing like a really, even a bad lyric, but making it good.
Not performance.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
So I did that. And I did some like other things. Like I did a couple like background commercials. Like
did you?
Yeah,
That's so cool.
here and there. Yeah, but you're in like a big, huge group of people.
Yeah.
So in that way, I've done it.
That's
So
pretty cool.
any famous adverts?
well, I did some soda adverts. I don't want to do the
No way.
brand.
No, don't
And
brag, don't brag.
chewing gum and something else I did.
That is cool. They
Yeah.
should only know like they're dealing with like one of the biggest artists in the electronic music scene,
I think it was actually it was like earlier than that when I was just trying to do anything, you know?
Yeah. Ah, that's great. Cool. That's really, really cool. One question. So when was the first moment when you were young where you knew like you wanted to be a singer?
Well,
If you
I
remember that, maybe when you
no,
were
I
born or something.
do. No, I was always doing, you know, stuff, but it was one of those times when I had gotten into a studio and was working for somebody, like, you know, singing something, and they had asked me, you know, do I have any songs? And I had like a couple of songs that I had recorded on my piano, you know, on my recorder, and I had played something for them, and they said, I would love to record that for you. And then I just had never had anything of mine recorded. And when I heard it, I was like, I couldn't believe it. It was like really a dream come true. I remember being
Wow.
on the subway.
Aw.
Oh, I couldn't believe it, listening over and over again.
No. That's so cute. I
And
love that.
I was, and then that was, I was done. You know.
Yeah. So what
Wow.
was the thing that like you did after then to take action to actually pursue a career in like being a singer or songwriter?
Yeah, it's crazy. I would always look in like the Village Voice for anything, you know, like auditions and stuff. And I had
Yeah.
gotten a couple of things where I had rehearsed I gotten some auditions for bands, and that like turned me upside down doing that. Like
Yeah.
going in and going in and just they would just say, okay, sing this song, and you'd go in and they'd have
Wow.
this huge band, you know, in back of you. And that just was so exciting. So I would do a lot of that. And I'd gotten close, but I think it was like 16 or 17, and like they weren't going to take me because of my age at that time. And
Wow.
also just going out a lot. I'm from New York, and you know, we were going out kind of young, and just really talking to anybody I could. I met a lot of producers just going out, and collaborators, like new people to write with and record with. And like sort of one thing would lead to another. I actually even did some like styling with this like stylist for like, you know, rock band. It was like just being around anybody, you know, that
Yeah.
was in the music business. And it wasn't really until I met my friend Tom. We went to LA, and because I had sort of done so many things in New York, and in New York I was doing more like pop and R&B and writing a lot of stuff like that. And I took a trip out to LA, and it just I knew like house music. I've told this story before. Like New York is like more house music, and LA I had never heard trance before. Or progressive or
So
like
cool.
anything.
Right.
Yeah. No, I had no idea what this music was. And
Yeah.
I met somebody who was like a young writer, and we were writing together. We were working in the studio, and he took me to a rave, and I was like, I couldn't believe myself. You know, I really was, it was like, you know, wide pants, glow stick, the whole thing.
Yeah. We love that. That's
And
cool.
it was also just like the music, the way the melody and the vocals go together, and you get everybody's, oh, I got those goosebumps, you know. And
Yeah.
I got very interested in writing some songs like that. And that's, you know, sort of how that all happened, you know.
Yeah, that's very cool. Very cool.
So, when was that shifting point in your career when you kind of knew you had arrived?
Well, I love that because it's like, you know, their definition of arriving. But I, you know, I think I'm constantly trying to arrive.
Okay.
You know, I'm still climbing that mountain, or at least I feel I am, you know.
Okay.
But I had a lot of moments, you know, especially with, I worked with some of my earlier stuff, like Everything With You and Living the Dream. Those are like some of my first ones before As the Rush Comes. And I was actually working in the studio with a producer, and we have this band called Guardians of the Earth, and we had a song called Star Children.
Mm.
And it got on a Paul Van Dyke CD.
Nice.
Paul Van Dyke CD.
Yeah.
And that was like my first, you know, feeling of, wow, I'm, you know, God, I'm on this CD that's out in the world, you know?
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
In this world that I didn't know anything about, you know?
Yeah.
So that was definitely one. And from that, I got a knock on the door of the studio that I was working in from a DJ and Defuse. And I went in the studio with him. He said, he found me from the CD. So it was just like sort of one thing to another.
Nice.
And that's when I think the most poignant moment, though, was when after Motorcycle happened and we were performing at the Dance Star Awards in Miami. And I remember we were going to perform. And at that time, it was this huge thing. And I just remember being so, like, right before we were going to perform, just a feeling of the rush.
The rush came.
Yeah, the rush came. It really did. I just was doing what I wanted to, and I would just go out there. And yeah.
That's such a nice feeling. Love that. That's a great story.
So, I remember listening to As the Rush Comes for the very first time in a club, ironically, and I was like, wow. And I thought to myself, what was the inspiration for these lyrics?
Well, that was a long, actually, when I got down there, it's such a long story, but I was performing with Defuse and I met Dave, and I had given him a couple of songs, and within like a week of meeting him, we were in San Francisco with Josh and Dave in their studio, and Josh had a poem that had a couple of the lyrics, and we had a track, and I just sort of put some of the lyrics in front of me, and we had a track that was very different. And I just sort of put it together, you know, like what we were saying, like the mumbling and the this and that. Sort of came out of my mouth, like the melody with the lyrics just sort of came out. That whole ending, Embrace Me Surrounding at the Rush Comes, the whole buildup of it, it just came out like that. I mean, their version of what it means to them and what it means to me are very different.
Very
different.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
I'm intrigued. Yeah, we're intrigued. What's their version?
I mean, I think their version is more of, I mean, I've, you know, here and there I've listened to some of what they think, but I think there has some undertones of club.
Right. Yeah.
Club vibes.
That's what I thought, but it was perfect. It was perfect timing.
It was perfect time with that. But for me, really, it's the rush of creativity of that moment. It's really of like what came out of me at that moment, and the way, the voice, who was it, you know? I wasn't really thinking about it, and that's just so amazing when you can get in tune with that feeling and you just let it go.
Yeah.
You know, You know, so many times. It's funny, the other day I was singing something, I loved it so much, and I was like, oh wow, I feel it. And I looked and I didn't press record.
Yeah. But I love that song, like the As the Rush Comes with Motorcycles. Like you created a little band out of it, right?
Yeah.
Together with Gabriel and Dresden. Have you ever like thought about doing something again as Motorcycle, or what's your thought about that?
No, I think we all have a lot of, you know, emotions towards Motorcycle. And it was really interesting because there were some other names and things that we're sort of putting together for the project. And it just, when they hit with Motorcycle As the Rush Comes, it just like so went. I think it so went together and it so worked, you know, when it was presented.
Yeah. And it's one of the most, like, I'd say, like when we were having you over in Dublin, having you performing over here, everybody came up to me like, oh, is she gonna do the As the Rush Comes? You know, is she gonna sing that? And I was like, oh, you know, just wait. You have to, you know, be patient. But so, you know, you're singing this song like over and over again, people love it.
Yeah.
You know, like looking at like something similar, like thinking of Celine Dion, like she has to sing As My Heart Will Go On forever in her life. And some people might think that, oh my God, am I going to sing that song again? But do you actually love As the Rush Comes yourself, or do you like have a love hate thing around it? Or
no, I really love that song. I think it's really nice. Interesting.
Good.
Yeah, you know, it's like I
we did too.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it really has, it has something that's like sort of fresh even now, like in its own way. But when I rehearse for my shows, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
You know, like I've sung this 5 billion times.
But, yeah.
But I think every time when I sing it live, it's because it's the audience, they're singing it with me. It's like the first time each time.
No,
because
that's
of,
really lovely.
Yeah.
Singing it with people. But I definitely, in rehearsal, sometimes, when I get to the end, though, you know, I get so emotional sometimes. It's like when you let yourself really just be, it's like the space that you're, when you're rehearsing or when you're working, if you're just like really in it. Like some songs, I completely, when I start to sing them, I do that. But yeah, no, I love it.
Yeah, we do.
Even
too.
Now,
such we do too.
Such a hit. Love it.
So what's most enjoyable for you, working in the studio or performing live?
Oh, well, I think performing live. Some people would say, you know, there are times in the studio that I love it. Like there's those times you get in the studio when nothing's hanging over your head. You don't have to be anywhere and you can just really enjoy yourself in the studio. And I love that. Like sometimes, but it's, you know, not, it's rare when I get those kind of moments. And I love doing vocals. Usually I really do a lot of most of my vocals on my own. So it's just me listening to me and editing me, you know, it's like, so you have to be your vocal producer. And I love that part. I'd say mixing really gets me crazy.
Does it?
Yeah. You know,
it takes a long time.
It does. And just like, I'm like, oh, can we go back to version one?
But isn't that so often you go back to version one, you get so caught in the
but
changes
do you do that
and the
too?
Tweaks. Yes, absolutely. And you get to the point, I get to the point anyway, where I get really crazy and then I go, right, I'm going to go and take 15 minutes. I might even wait for the next day and then I'll come in and I'll hate it and I'll hate what I've just done. And then I'll go back to the original one that I didn't know. That's the one.
That's the one. I'm so happy you said that because I have to say, Jess, do not destroy it. You know, because, and I think what you said also about going away from it.
Right.
You know, it's so yeah. important. You can get like too much into it and not see what's good about yeah. it. Yeah,
totally.
Can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. How about you, Linnea? Do you get like that too? I mean,
yeah, I mean, sometimes you work yourself too hard, especially like I get that a lot. If I get a request before I'm having to fly off somewhere and I stress myself and it has to be good. So I'm trying to get this song ready before I'm going away and just push myself. And then when I listen to it, it's just like, what am I doing? Just go back to the first version. And no, yeah, it's really good to just walk away, let it go. If you have a writer's block or whatever it is, just let it go until you feel inspired again, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm glad to hear that. Because sometimes I'm like always wondering if people, you know, singers do that to themselves as much as I do.
Yeah.
Do. I think one of the other things that I had to learn and really teach myself was I have a tendency, I'll just set something in a loop and I'll just record it and record it and record it and just to get the vibe going, you know? And then I used to have a problem deleting stuff.
That's funny. Yeah, you can't really see which one is the best.
I had real problems with that. So I had to really train myself to go, delete. And it was gone. And I felt such a release just letting it go, you know?
Yeah, no, I do that too. It's funny. I'll go through several days of recording stuff. And then I'll just go through them and see which takes are best. But then sometimes I'll just delete it all.
Yeah, I know. But it's
and then
it's
start again.
Good feeling when you can do that. So do you get performance anxiety?
You know, I used to never get it. I used to really
lucky. Very lucky.
I used to never get it, but now I get it. I get it more leading up to shows sometimes. It's funny because as soon as it's time for showtime and then I get in the club or at the festival or something and I have the mic in hand and, you know, and I'm just, it's just, you know, off and I'm fine. I don't have, I'm never nervous like on stage. It's more just the days leading just up or
leading
what
up
I want.
To it.
Yeah. And, it's funny how it's after even more performing and more time, you think you'd be like, no, but I think it adds though, right? It adds to our performance. You need
it's
those.
It's a little bit exciting.
You need
also.
The edge, don't you? You do need that edge.
Yeah. Like totally. 50% is like panic and 50% is like, you're excited. Let's do this.
Yeah. No, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. All right. So, I'm really curious, like, what is your favorite song of all time? Like, what song has inspired you the most in your life?
I know you're going to be disappointed by this, but I really don't have a favorite song.
Oh.
You know what? Everybody always asks me, like, what's my favorite song? You know, it's a common question. And I have to say, I have a weird way of, like, looking at music. I feel it like, as a collective, you know, there's no like genre that I like best.
Yeah. I'm the same. Yeah. I love everything.
You know, and it's like, I could be in the car and something will come in on and be like, oh my God, I love this song so much. And because you're in it at the moment and you feel like that song. But it's so hard. You know, I love so many songs, but I don't know how I could pick one. Yeah. I wish I could. But I also feel like, I love to go to concerts. I love to see, you know, even growing up, like see live music, but I was never really like after one person. It was just, I just love songs. I love voices. And it's just like this, you know, collective thing for me, the way I look at music, the way I feel it.
Was there one song like you came into the electronic music scene, right? So was there one like vocal trance song back then, maybe not trance even, but like something like electronic music wise that inspired you and made you think, oh, I should do that as well. I should start doing vocals for electronic music. Do you remember having any song that like inspired you for that?
Well, I mean, it's funny because I used to feel so like very insecure in the beginning of my career in dance music because I really knew nothing about it, especially the genre that I was coming into. It was like really learning about it as I was going. I mean, I mean, the only song I could say is because I was like on the Tiesto tour and all I would hear is Silence, you know, which is Sarah McLachlan. And
that is my favorite song. That's what inspired me.
It was a very inspiring song. And being in a stadium and hearing that powerful vocal like that was very inspiring. And that's something I'll always remember. And also, there was that one he would play all the time, Touch Me in the Morning.
Oh, yeah. That is such a classic.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So like that, I love that song too. And the rhythm and, you know, so those type of songs. But those were like the first songs I knew.
And curious, like, so you ended up in electronic music, but it wasn't really your plan. It just happened organically. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, I was in your thing, just writing, you know, writing songs and I just kept on meeting, you know, when I started with those few songs, I met more and more people within that. Yeah. And it was very exciting and very, you know, coming from more from New York and coming from a more pop, you know, R&B place and, you know, writing those type of things. It was just very eye opening. And I think I was very inspired. You know, I was working with lots of different people at the time and I was just go. It was very exciting. You know, I just wanted to write. So
you have such a good voice for electronic scene, but also pop, I must say. I mean your new album is a mix with, I would say, electronic music and pop as well. So those two go hand in hand for your voice. It's just perfect.
Thank
you. So you nailed that.
Absolutely.
I love singing. I mean, I don't know if you guys heard, but I have another album that I'm working on right now. It's a more artist
album.
But it's more like what I was doing before.
Yeah.
So I released one song called Lay Down, and I just released Where Are You Now, right before the end of the year. And those are definitely like the R&B pop thing. And that's like you know, really, you know, I think I put that into some of my dance stuff too, but that stuff comes out of me normally, you know.
Yeah, they're so good. So
thank
well done.
Thank you.
So just, you know, moving on to slightly other topic, it's well known in the music industry that a lot of artists and producers don't fully understand contracts and their rights. And as a result, you know, they often end up getting burned when records get released. Have you had any experiences like that?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
How can we not? You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it was funny because it sort of happened early on.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things, because I had bands and I did a lot of, before I was even in dance music, I had my own band and I did a lot of other songs and things with other people, not in dance music. But, and I'd always had my name on things, just, it was a given, you know?
Yeah.
So when I first did my first things and it was on a big label and I had a contract, I had in the contract, my name was going to be on the record, and it was actually came out on CD.
Right.
And so I thought I had, you know, all my bases covered. And then the CD comes out and my name is nowhere in sight.
Ooh,
it's
no.
a single. Yeah.
Oh,
and, ouch.
Yeah. So it was, that was really eye-opening, but I didn't let them get away with it.
Yes,
that's right.
Excellent.
And you go, girl.
I know. And I made them, I went back and I bought it and I made them sticker all of the CDs with my name.
Brilliant.
That's brilliant. Nice.
And it wasn't, you know, easy. And it cost me a lot of money, you know, at the time. And but I was, you know, I remember, I think, you know, like it's like traumatic almost. Like it was traumatic because I just assumed that that it would be on. Another thing was funny, like when I went to when I did these songs, I automatically thought I'd be performing them too.
Right.
Yeah.
So that was funny because I was already performing and I was like, well, of course I'm going to sing this song. I got to go sing this song. So yeah. I had really pushed to go out to the clubs and sing the first songs I had. But, you know, since that time, since it happened really early on, I really tried to be, you know, smart from the beginning, and I knew the possibilities of what could happen. And things still did happen anyway. I had bigger lawyers and, you know, spent more to protect me, and it doesn't always. There's so many things that you have to yourself.
Yeah, you can never be a lawyer and look after social media. You have to be a producer. You have to look good. You have to be a great dancer. You know, the whole thing. I get you.
It's true. And you realize that you don't want it. It's no fun to have to look at a contract or read things. Mm. And it would be great for just a manager to be doing everything.
Right.
And I did that, you know, where like, oh no, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with it. But it wasn't until I started to deal with it and like just face it on head on, that I knew that things wouldn't be probably as bad in the outcome. And so, you know, things happen here and there, but you just have to be very, clear, you know, and
absolutely. And I think one of the things that, you know, I've noticed along the way is that trying to explain to some vocalists, you know, you need to learn to almost run yourself as a business. You need to understand the industry that you're actually in. Because at that point, like probably like yourself, you know, I've had managers along the way. And, you know, some of them have been amazing, but some have maybe not quite dotted the I's and cross the T's as they should. And I got to the point where I just thought to myself, you know what, it would be so much better if I just knew it all myself. Yeah. I suppose that kind of makes me a control freak, but it was the best thing I ever did, because then I wasn't worried. It took away the worry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's kind of like one of the things that, you know, Linnea and I have been, you know, doing is trying to educate vocalists and give them the knowledge to be able to move forward with some autonomy, basically. So
yeah,
I think that's amazing. It's because it's really it can be so, and there's so many things you have to know these days, and there's so many ways that you make money, that you have to collect your money, that you need to, you know, even collaborations. I mean, the biggest thing is to be communication, know, with who you're working with.
Right.
And beforehand, you know, I think when I started, it was a lot like, hey, let's do something, you know, I send you this. And a lot of times, you know, between friends and people we know, you know, even people I know, sometimes I just, you know, I have like a little agreement.
I think it's really important. And I think one of the things I remember back in my younger years was that we were all so keen to write the songs, and we jumped into the studio and we went, yay, let's write a song. And then we left the studio and we say, yeah, we'll split it three ways or whatever it was. And then the next thing, one person goes off with it. And we're all left going, well, that's a bummer now.
Now there's plenty.
It's not fun anymore, you know? So, so you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I mean that happens a lot now, where like one person gives to another and just another, especially in the pop world and stuff. There'll be like 10 people on a song with. Yeah, I think just having like a sort of an agreement before, before you go in or before you send something out,
Totally agree, yeah.
even like a paragraph, an email, something that outlines what you're expecting.
Absolutely. Yeah. I
You know,
agree.
and you have to do that. And a lot of times you have to, you're gonna have to be strong and fight for yourself, and you can't feel
Absolutely.
bad about that,
No,
which.
and that's a really good point, because again, some artists that I have spoken to, they get kind of stuck a little bit in the, yeah, but I really just want to do that track. I want to work with that person, and that's good, because I mean, obviously there's benefits to working with a somebody who's kind of like helping you grow. But if you're doing that constantly, you're losing your value.
Yeah. I mean,
And
I think
yeah.
there's a certain amount of, of also, I, did that and felt that way, at times. And I think, to build up, you have to build up your repertoire and you have to build
Absolutely.
up your career. And there's a little bit of that that I definitely think goes on. But then to a certain point, you have to say, I have to, you're never going to advance if you don't draw the line and say, okay, now I'm going to do it this way.
Absolutely. I agree. I
Yeah.
agree. So, if you could give young vocalists out there a tip, what would it be?
Yeah, I think it would be definitely to have that agreement and be very clear in the beginning. And also, there's always something funny that always pops up. There's like a lot of times, I don't know, record labels give you these things, and you have to really l look through contracts. But I always see this thing, industry standard,
Yeah, it's not that standard.
I don't think there's any industry standard
No,
anymore.
absolutely not.
So
Totally agree.
I would look for that, and yeah, and kind of like this little fine prints, things that you have to look for. But I think most importantly is know the person you're working with and be up on it. Don't be pushing it away. You have to meet it head on, and it's not easy, and it's not for everybody. Everybody's like, oh, you kind of have to get a thicker skin for some things, have a sense of humor.
Absolutely.
And not obsess and not be, if it's meant to be, it will work itself out. If you're honest and you're clear about it, I think, and you genuinely want something to work out. But yeah, you have to be on top of it before you're sending your vocals away and before you're,
Yeah, absolutely. I totally
That's
agree. I
really
think
good advice.
good advice,
Thanks.
absolutely. So, before actually giving away your vocal, have an agreement with the ones that you're working with, and nothing is industry standards. There's always a way around it. Good
Yeah,
takeaways. Good takeaways for
and
sure.
know your worth. Know I
your
know your
worth.
worth. And I think also, something I just thought of, but I think it's important because, but I mean, if you're, working with somebody who has a lot of people in their team, you want to make sure you have more than yourself in your own team. At least one other person that's, involved in, the dialogue back and forth, so it's not only you dealing with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So if you have a team, that's even better. Yeah. So if you had a magic wand at the moment, what would you change about the music industry for vocalists and songwriters right now?
I think I would, something that always gets me a little bit is this, the idea of like a top line, because I think it, there's so much more value in that than they give it, and that really gets me, you know. And I never, when they're like, oh, can you top line this? I won't top line it. I will write a song to it. And I will write.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I really like that.
Yeah, because it's making it be less valuable. It's like, it's everything, you know, it's so much more. It lives on its own, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I think, you know, like I see a lot of things like people just, you know, selling them for nothing and doing it for nothing. Right. And it's kind of like, it's devaluing how important it is, the song and the work that goes into it. I mean, I say, Jess, come on, let's do this in a day.
it takes a long time to write a song. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
Ever. Yeah, it's a lot of work. And and to make it be really good and sound really good and just to put it together, it's more than, to me, it's more of a top line and the way that they look at it. You know, it's this, you know, like you can just dispose of it, you know, so that I wish I could get rid of that whole, you know, feeling.
Good point. I love that, Jess. I really do. Same. I think I've been saying for years, and of course at this point my headphone just popped out. I've been saying for years, if I can get this in. I've been saying for years, you know, what would people be singing without that song, without that vocal on it? And that in itself for me shows its worth. And I do get really saddened, and it's just my opinion, but you know, I do get really saddened because often the vocalist, even now, and maybe I'm talking about the EDM sector, I mean, maybe you've got a different experience, but the people within that sector, producers, labels, there is this kind of perspective that we're just this top line, as you've just you know, and I think that's what I would like to see change.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
Is up that value.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also just, you know, the other thing is when, I mean, and I know there's all types of singers and the way you want your career to be, but you know, when there's a beautiful vocal on something and you don't even know who it is.
Right.
I'm like, always like, who sang this? You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, I hate when there's such a good song and you're like, where's the name of this amazing singer?
Right.
I want to know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's always, you know, that's another thing that would be good to change.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
Plus one.
Okay. Now, Jess, I have a really personal question for you.
Uh-oh.
Do you like pickles?
I love pickles. I am like, that's like one of my favorite things.
So specifically, what is your favorite pickle?
What is my favorite pickle? That's hard. I've changed my pickles. Standards have changed over the years. I used to like that very more of a cucumber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I like these sort of sweet, not too sweet pickles, but like sweet, salty pickle. Something we have here in America. I'll have to send you them.
I love pickles.
So I love pickles. Yeah. I love anything. I'm a salty person. Like, I don't like sweets. I like
savories.
Yes, savories. That's what I say. Savories.
Yeah. Brilliant. So would you rather have a punch in the face or a poke in the eye?
Oh, punch in the face or a poke in the eye. Oh, I think I'd go for a punch in the face.
Why?
Yeah, we want to know why.
Why?
Eyes. I can't imagine a poke in the eye. I have to keep my vision. I don't care about my face.
Thanks for being a good sport.
Yeah, that's great.
What would you want?
I think it depends on the level of poke.
Yes.
Yeah.
And was I wearing my glasses at the time?
I was going to say.
That's not fair. That is not fair. That's cheating there.
And what about you, Lydia?
Probably like a really quick slap, you know, really in the face. It has to be really like get it over with.
Okay, you're being specific now.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. So going back to more normal things. So you worked with legends such as Tiesto, Marcus Schultz, Cosmic Gate. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But who is your favorite producer to actually work with?
Yeah, they're all so awesome. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, I'm trying to think which collaborators were I actually in the studio with, you know. I've been in the studio with Tiesto, and that was amazing, and in Holland. I've been in the studio with Gabriel in Dresden. I've been in the studio with, well, so I've been in the studio with, you know, it's like you do everything over the internet.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard to pick. I just saw Cosmic Gate the other night, and they're some of my favorite people.
Yeah.
And they're very, you know, they're very specific. I love working with them. And they always, you know, we always work on really, I love the tracks and the things. They're very minimal and sort of emotional, and I love the chord that they pick to work with and stuff. So I mean, I really love them, but you know, it's hard to pick like one, but I love them very much.
Yeah.
But everything,
they write really
like
good music.
Yeah, they write really good music, and I think they are very you know, I think they have like the way we were talking about our vocals and how we go back. Actually, we were just talking about that the other night. I was talking about that with them, about like going back to like, you know, like to number two when you're on 43.
Right. Yeah. You know,
I think it captured like something. You smoothed it out along the way.
You did
something, you know, and so, and I also think they know when we're doing our vocals and we're putting something down, you know, when you hit it right, you know, when you captured it, and you know, when somebody else is going to feel it or what, or you feel it, you know it, you know, it's like such a great feeling.
Yeah.
To know that, you know, other people are going to feel it the way you feel it, you know? And I think that they know that in when they make a track, they are really looking at that.
So
I think there's a level of that I definitely hear and see when I work with them back and forth, and what they, you know, and what we want to do. So
they really capture your voice also really good.
They, I think, do.
It goes together. It's almost like they're a trance music is also a little bit like pop, I would say. It becomes this really brilliant kind of production altogether with your voice. So I understand why they're favorites. But is there anyone that you'd like to work with, like any dream producer that you always like, oh, I really want to work with that person?
Well, in the dance,
it can be the dance industry or like somebody else that is not related to dance industry at all.
You know, I would love to work with like, I mean, I definitely would like to do something with Armin in the dance world, because I haven't. I've done things with him, and I really like him, you know, very much. He's a really sweet person.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I like, you know, he does a lot of different things. He doesn't like just do one thing, and I haven't really done something direct with him. So I'd love to do something with him.
Yeah, it's about time.
But yeah, I know. And I mean, I don't know. I love Pharrell, you know, people in that world that I like to work with. I mean, I love The Weeknd. I love everything he does. Everything he does, I really love. And he's a fighter too, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
He's in his own world, you know. And so, I mean, I'd love to work with him. Let's see who else. I used to really want to do stuff with Diplo because he was doing stuff with Moo, who I love.
Ah, yeah. Diplo is a brilliant producer. For
yeah.
Sure.
So I really wanted to work with him. I mean, there's so many.
I'd love to hear that happening. You know, I'd love to
see that. That'd be amazing.
And Armin. I mean, Armin is way overdue, to be honest. So,
I know.
Mean, it's just, Armin, you need to give Jess a call now. Is that we're waiting here. Seriously.
We'll see.
So Jess, lots of people have been asking, namely me. No. Because I would like to know, what mic do you use? What's your favorite anyway? Oh,
spill the beans.
Yeah, spill the beans.
Well, I have a Sennheiser that I use all the time. I also have a CAD, a C-A-D mic that I use. And I also love this Audix mic that I use for live stuff because it doesn't like feedback and it's very cool. Right now I've been using this CAD mic for a while.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You have a specific setup also when you're actually performing, you know. I've seen you set up everything. So like any tips for those who are performing live, like what should you have when you're performing live?
I've actually changed it since then too.
Okay.
There's always a better way, you know, to do it. I think that dance music is the hardest, most challenging music to perform. And I've said this because it's like electronic music and it is either detuned a lot of the sounds that they're using, or they're like smack on, you know, it's different than singing with like a band or something. So I have really good pair of ear monitors. It's really important. And you can never, I don't know if you find that, but you can never like really get the sound out. There's that combination of the room and your ear monitor that you're going to be singing to. I would get, you know, a microphone like a 57 or that Audix or something that doesn't feedback, that doesn't have, I was using like this Sennheiser beautiful mic that like Celine Dion uses and that does not work.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
It does not work in a club because it all goes into the mic.
Oh, wow.
You're listening to like a million things in your ears.
Oh, that's got to be really off-putting.
It's really hard. Wow. But so now I know some people like my friend Christian Burns, he loves to listen to a lot of reverb in his vocal, you know, so it gives him that feeling of the record and everything.
Yeah.
And that can be good for some people. I've done that. Me, I like it to be dry and upfront and just kind of like in my face.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but yeah, I take Pro Tools sometimes to record my shows so I can listen back and make notes.
Nice. You know,
it's sometimes hard to do.
You said that.
But you learn so much if you can do that.
Listen,
because when you're in a, I was funny because it when you're in a club and you have the energy and the loud music, you tend to sing, you know, you're sing loud.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah, you're like, wild.
And then you're like, but the thing is, I tell myself, just do not belt, you know, don't push it out too much, you know, get in there. Because our music, it's sort of, you want to be part of it. And I've learned that from recording the track. So I would say make sure you find a mic that doesn't take too much spill from the room.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes that's not a very nicest mic. You know, that's why they always have these 57s and 58s in the club, because they just get what's in front of you.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. All right. That's good tips. Right. So going back to your album Memento, that is just released, 28 tracks on the album. Amazing achievement. It's so good. Love it. But how did you actually pick like the producers you wanted to work with? Like, how was the process?
Well, it's funny because it started, it was supposed to just be an album. And then the pandemic happened. And then it sort of started to grow more and start to become something a little bit different. And then the record label was like, let's make a double album. I started to get some remixes of some of the tracks that I love, you know, remixed.
Yeah.
And brought to, you know, like we did Ghost again, some of the classics and everything. And so what happened was it really took a long time. I released those like a year ago. They started before the pandemic and they went through the pandemic, Tight Wires, and all these songs that were sort of from the album. So, you know, you would usually release like 3 or 4 or maybe 5 songs and then the album. Well, I released a lot more before the double album came out. But a lot of them were people I really wanted to work with. Tracks. I have a radio show, as you know.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
and it's really interesting. I learn a lot from my radio show every week.
All right.
And just going through the promos, you know, a lot of times I don't even realize I gravitate to people's tracks and I don't know who it is at the beginning when I'm just scrolling through all the promos. Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of the people, a lot of remixers on those are people that I play in my show that I've, you know, sort of met through playing them in my show and then have agreed to do, you know, be part of the album.
So I have to ask, you don't have to.
No pressure.
I always say it to all my clients as well. I say, you don't have to do this. But
I'm like,
But would you be willing to do a little snippet of As the Rush Comes? Little snippet.
Oh boy. Let's see. Yeah, take some water here.
Hey, I'm excited.
I'm having some too.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't warmed up. I don't know.
Pressure.
No pressure at all.
Yeah.
God, I'm like, where does it even start? I'm just gonna start on any note.
Any notes.
Believe me, I've been asked to do this before.
You hate it. We know you hate it. I would hate it too.
I have a nice acoustic in this room. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Traveling somewhere, could be anywhere. There's a coldness in the air, but I don't care.
Yes.
We drift deeper, and life goes on.
Hey.
We drift deeper into the sound.
Yes.
Hey.
Very good. Woo-hoo. Your voice is so incredible.
Thank you so much. That's so lovely.
You have this like
angelic.
Yeah, like an angel singing.
It is.
And then at the same time, like you've
been the breath.
Yeah, it is. And it's like an
it's
angel.
Called not warmed up.
No, it's like an angel that had a little bit of whiskey and it's like the perfect, like, I'd love that. It's so good.
My drunk angel.
Yeah.
Oh, you're sweet.
Drunk angel voice. I love it. Right. So what's next for you? Anything you want to share with your followers and fans?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I just, I'm working on this artist album, which it is titled now, it's titled Surrender. And I've been working on it for a while, you know, for a while. And it's like this more of this, my crossover material. And so I'm trying to get that done, but it takes a lot of time to make an album.
It does.
Things you have to do for it. Mm-hmm. So that I'm really excited about. And I will be releasing songs from it. And I also have another like sort of acoustic EP of
Ooh,
some songs
cool.
I wrote on guitar.
Yay.
I love that. Yes, that's very good.
You know
that's
how great. It is, you guys.
Yeah. I love your hunger. That's like
me too. Yeah,
it's so good. It's great to see somebody who has like your heart in the right place and the hunger. Doesn't matter if you have done like amazing hits and you're still working to improve yourself all the time, working on like giving greater music. And it's just such a pleasure to see you, have you in the industry and know you as a friend as well. So
well, you're so sweet. Thank you guys. You know, I think it's like, I love creating. I mean, that's not, it's, and I think, like you said, like trying to like, it's hard. Like if you think, oh, I have to write something better than this, but I mean, everything, it's its own thing. And you never know. I never know how something is going to, how fans will react. Surrounding ourselves with inspiring artists like yourselves and you too. You're just keep on going and you're doing so many things, both of you. And I love this, what you're doing.
Well, you know, this is part of this promotion for, you know, so that people know that we're there to support them. And I love your tips and sharing all your experiences because it goes a long way.
Another tip I would say for someone starting out would be to be really organized, you know, really organized. Every song needs, you know, a checklist, you know, every time you do something. And I learned these things the hard way, you know, from the beginning, you know, just being a creative person, I'm going to make this and make this. But I would say that that's really important, is to be organized.
What's your checklist then for yourself?
Yeah, I like that. Well, what is the checklist?
I should probably write it all down and give it to you. I mean, there's so many places. I mean, obviously you have to be, as a songwriter, registered with your companies that are collecting for you. You know, I always make an instrumental. I always have all the information of the song. I do the lyrics, all the label copies, brief history of the song.
Love it. That's great.
You know, what it meant to you when you wrote it.
Yeah.
Where it came from, where you were. I mean, you know, the key, obviously, BPM. And you have to register it with all these different...
Right.
Societies and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you want an admin deal of some sort, unless you're going to do it yourself, and which you can. But you'll need people collecting for you as well, because there's so many different places. So, and even if you're distributing it or putting it out yourself through a company, you know, you need to get all those, you know, your codes down. You know, you just really have to keep it, you know, from when you wrote it, the date, you know, everything to it. I put the, you know, everything has a folder with the photographs that go to it, you know, everything like that. But I mean, mostly the registrations and that you're going to copyright it and do all that stuff is most important. But I like to keep a little history of everything, and this, you have it. Because
Well, it's important. It's really important, especially having these. I sometimes keep all the scrap pieces of paper that I've been jotting down things on, you know, because then if anything comes back, you've got some kind of evidence to support that. Yeah, actually, this is my track.
Yeah.
This is what I was doing.
And also, if you're working with if you're working with a producer that's working with you, you want your stems. You need your stems. You also want an instrumental of it, because, well, either if you're performing it, but also for syncs and licensing, they always need an instrumental. You know, a lot of times we'll have a song and then I'll have a remix back. So you want to keep that, you know, really together. You know, I try with my writing to keep it organized. Like, I've definitely become better at it. my desktop would say a different thing. But you know, it goes into one big folder. But I, you know, I try to keep you know, like ideas written at times and the dates and stuff. So like the morsel of the idea is there.
Right. Well, I think so. Maybe we could say, hey, Jess, if you have 5 minutes in your really busy schedule, maybe you could jot down some of the pointers.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, this is, again, it's part of our kind of education. And I'm not sure whether Linnea actually shared with you, but I spent literally the last 3 years during that pandemic building a platform for vocalists. Wow. And trying to incorporate all of these points that you've been mm-hmm. bringing and kind of to create somewhere that they could come and not, they could be educated, but equally they have support and that it's all there for them.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think that's great. These little things help so much because someone, I mean, I even know, you know, people, you know, I know singers now that still, you know, have been doing it for a long time that are are having, you know, that still have issues with things. And, you know, you really got to start off with a strong place, you know, in a strong place and know as much as you can.
Before. Yeah,
I agree.
And it doesn't have to be like you know it all, but you know, at least you're smart, you know what's going on, and I think that's really good. Congratulations, I'm loving it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it should be a big huge community.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for. I just need to get the word out and explain to them what it is. So here's the idea: if we had all the vocalists, and not all, but you know, at least they were there within one community that was supported, taken care of. They knew that they could come to anyone and get advice. Then the industry would have to come to us rather than the other way around. Mm-hmm. And it means that there isn't that, and forgive me, because I know there's not always abuse out there, but there's not so much of that abuse goes on because they would be coming into an environment that has standards, that has regulation.
We have a union.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of like that, you know.
No,
but
I think so. The education is just so important.
Yeah,
and the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having a community where somebody could write and say,
right,
you know, even like what they're dealing with and what some advice, you know.
Absolutely.
People don't have a place to go and ask that or know.
Mm. Absolutely. And I want our members, when they come to sit, be able to go, right, I'm having this really tough time. Mm-hmm. I want to negotiate this deal, but I don't have the courage to do it. They can contact us and we'll help them to kind of get them into that position where they feel comfortable enough to do it.
Yeah, I think that's great. I really do. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just so much to know and it's always changing.
I know, always changing. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely. It's a good platform to protect vocalists and songwriters overall. So I wished that was out there when I started off. So,
me too, actually.
I'm so excited. Platform, to be honest.
Jess, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time today. I know this has been quite long. We hadn't intended to be this
long.
Love
it.
But it's been just thrilling. Thank you so much.
You guys are
thank you so
amazing.
Much.
Thank you, Linnea. I love
so
you.
So good to see you.
Tony, it's so good to meet you. And I think this is amazing. And if I can help in any way, I already have some ideas.
Well,
you know,
please.
I definitely do. So, you know, just giving people the confidence, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we always, like you were saying, you know, we always kind of like, you know, you kind of feel smaller or you put yourself in a place where you don't feel like you can even have a say or deserve anything. And that's just not how it should begin situation of collaboration or writing something.
I absolutely agree. And I just would love producers and labels to be able to really view us with kind of an equal respect. And I know they do you, Jess. I'm, you know, but there's okay.
You know,
all right. Okay.
I even think when I was talking about, I mean, there's other bigger, there's like pop stars and stuff that, you know, even Taylor Swift, what she's been through and right. stuff.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's happening everywhere. Yeah.
I mean, that was amazing. I think what she did. I mean, you can feel the fight in that.
Oh, but, yeah, for sure.
You know, you think, but I mean, I try. I think the most important thing, find good people to work with. There are good people out there.
Absolutely.
There isn't that much room for terrible people as much anymore. But every once in a while, you know, there's a complicated situation or something. And
absolutely.
You know, but, I know you both know, because you've been through it as well as I, that it doesn't really matter. Also, a lot of times it doesn't matter. I've heard this before. It's not like what you've done. It's like what you're doing now.
Absolutely. We're hopeful.
We're
hopeful, and we're going to spread that hope.
Yeah. So. We just want to do that. And this, I just want there to be, I want there to be some kind of standard for vocalists and them to be respected equally. That's it.
I think a lot of vocalists, you know, from all areas, you know, will be very excited to be part of this.
But the truth is, Jess, the only way we can get those standards, make those changes, is if we all come together.
Yeah.
Yep.
And work together. And it was funny on the VSA forum, Linnea was saying, you know, we'd said, well, how will we change these standards? And she said, make sure you're paid for everything you do, you know, and there is a truth in that. And so that's one of the things that we're kind of educating, you know, vocalists about as well.
Right.
You know, to
no,
value
it's
themselves.
True. There's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, I know. We could go on about this, but please
we can go on for like hours.
Yeah, but Jess, if any ideas, anything
totally.
Would be enormously grateful.
Yeah, no, I think it's awesome what you guys are doing. And Linnea, I know you're always doing so many things. And
I know
so
she's glad. A busy bee.
She's
like
amazing.
You. Yes.
You have to be to be your own leader and kind of keep going, you know.
Exactly.
And we are going into your studio when we get back to Ireland. Detroit.
That's right. That's
Detroit.
Right.
Well, Linnea, we're going to Detroit.
Exactly. I'm coming over.
Thank you for
everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're a superstar.
Oh, you guys.
And wishing you a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
Because